Hey everyone, thanks for listening to the Pepcast. We talk a lot about mental health and mental illness in this podcast, including suicide and depression. And the topics may be upsetting to some. We are in no way medical professionals. We're speaking of our own experiences with mental health, which may or may not be similar to yours. We are in no way trying to make light of your or anyone else's situation. Please, if you or anyone you know is seeking or in need of help, please call the CAPS number at 831-459-2628 to schedule an appointment. Or, if in crisis, the CAPS team will be able to assist, even after hours. There is also the National Suicide and Crisis Lifeline with a new, easy-to-remember number, 988. 24 hours, 7 days a week, you are not alone. Stay safe and enjoy the show. Welcome to the Pepcast. A little information about PEP, or the Peer Education Program. It's a student-led group focused on promoting mental health awareness and reducing stigma around mental health treatment. Working heavily with CAPS to let people know about all the resources that UCSC provides for its students, from counseling, weekly groups, and workshops about how to better manage the stress of college, CAPS has a lot of resources to offer. And much of it for free, I may add. So if you want more information about all the things that CAPS has to offer, please go to caps.ucsc.edu to find out more. Hello, everyone. This is the Pepcast. And for this week, we have Emma. Hello, Emma.
Hi. I'll introduce myself. I'm Emma. I'm a fourth year psychology major here at UCSC. And I'm a member of PEP at CAPS. Woo!
Yes. Hello. Yeah. We're in the same group.
Yeah. Woo! And this is my first ever podcast. Can you believe it? I'm super excited.
This is my first time doing a podcast with you. So
no way.
Yeah.
I never would have thought. Your voice just sounds like it's meant to be on a podcast.
Oh, thank you. I've learned that I don't really like listening to my voice.
Oh, nobody likes that. So you're fine.
Yeah. When editing this, I was just like, damn, I'm tired of listening to my own voice.
I think everybody feels that way, except for some really narcissistic people.
Maybe I should just become a narcissist. Then I can really just like love myself better.
Well, yeah, I feel like editing might go really well if you're a narcissist, because then you're like really focused in on it. Anyway, mental health.
Yeah, mental health. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. It's hit me after week 5 that I'm graduating very, yeah, very soon. And that's a big thing. Adulting, right? Mm-hmm.
Adulting is a trip.
It's scaring me a little bit. I applied to grad school, and that was a big step. I didn't get in, so that was
unfortunate.
Yeah, that was really rough for my mental health. I went through, April was really rough for me. Had to do a lot of self-care. Yeah, but right now I've gotten through that. Had to go to some therapy, but I got through it. And now I'm looking to the future and some positive things and planning for some different paths other than grad school, like jobs and staying for a gap year to bolster my resume to then apply again. And hopefully that goes well.
I hope it goes well for you.
Thank you.
Do you have anything that you're like really applying for right now for work?
Yeah, actually, right now I'm doing field studies with UCSC. I'm working at a foster home for at-risk youth. And I'm actually currently in the process of applying to work with them and continuing. I'm applying to continue with them to work for the next year to stick with them after the internship.
Yeah.
And like get paid, hopefully.
Okay, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So you'll be staying in Santa Cruz for the next year?
Yeah. My story in Santa Cruz is not over.
Oh.
Yeah.
You're probably excited about paying for housing, right?
Oh God, that was that was the decision that was looming over my head. I was like, I'm gonna go home and save a bunch of money.
Oh yeah, because you're an RA right now.
Yeah.
So you don't have to pay for housing.
Yeah. Guys, that is the life hack that I can give you guys. Apply to be an RA and get free housing and dining. I've done that for 2 years and it was the most amazing decision. I didn't have to deal with any of this housing crap. And yeah, but now I have to because I've made the silly decision to stay here and work here. But I'm sticking with the kiddos at the foster home, and I feel loyal to them. I want to stick with them for another year at least until wherever grad school next takes me, hopefully. Anyway,
it's probably that's definitely cool. They probably like you over there. You have a real bubbly personality.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of hard. They have some trust issues, but I have learned that my face actually is one that is successful in that realm because I have a very have a very non-judgmental happy face typically. I don't know, I wear glasses, that probably helps, so some of the kiddos just immediately gravitate a little more towards me because I think they think I look nice, and then some of the other staff I think have like resting bitch faces, so they don't like them.
That's no good. You don't want to approach anyone with RBF.
I know, it's sad, but I guess that's something that I didn't really know, but facial expressions matter, guys. When people have a rough go at it, like your face, the faces that you make around them matter. Yeah, putting a smile on your face really matters to other people.
Yeah.
So that's something that's helpful for mental health right now.
Yeah.
If somebody's having a rough time, you never know what's going on in their life, and just smiling at someone can really make brighten their day. So that's what I've learned at my job. And I didn't think that my face, the way my face looks actually matters, but I guess it does.
Well, I'll tell you right now, you have a very nice face.
Aw, that's very nice of you.
Yeah, I guess that's a fun fact. If
I know you guys can't see my face.
If you wanna compliment someone, just go up to them and tell them they have a nice face.
Yeah.
I don't think that would really work. Don't. Don't get mad at me when that doesn't work, but
compliments are good.
Yeah, compliments are good.
Be careful how you compliment someone though.
Yeah,
but compliments can always help someone brighten someone's day.
I've read that compliments, the best thing to compliment on other people, especially women, is their clothes and their hair. Because that's something that they chose themselves, not like genetic, like their facial features or their body parts.
Don't do that, guys. Don't be creepy. We're just trying to make people feel better, not flirt with them.
So if you see someone with nice clothes or nice hair, tell them.
Anyway,
let's go on with the questions that
questions.
Yeah, so why did you join PEP and get into mental health advocacy?
So originally I was looking at jobs to this year that were more relevant towards what my career choice is, and I was looking towards becoming a therapist and applying to grad school, and with COVID I hadn't done really anything that relevant for my resume, and I was looking at campus jobs, and I was looking at CAPS, and I was like, oh, I wonder if they have any job openings, and I ran into PEP and I was like, oh, this is so cool. Like, advocacy is so important and reducing stigma is so important. And I am very passionate about that because stigma is so, it exists.
Yeah.
It's insane. It exists in my family. It exists in my town that I grew up in. It's a bummer. And I'd really like to help fight it. And so I read about PEP and their like mission statement, and I was like, I want to be a part of this. It's really cool. And I wanted to like further reach people on campus because I'm an RA on campus and I have done stuff with CAPS through that job. Like, we did training through CAPS with our RA training, and I was like, oh, this is gonna be cool if I can reach more students on campus, not just in my college.
Yeah.
And so I applied to be a pepper. And yeah, that's how it happened. And I'm super excited to have done what I've done so far.
Yeah.
And I'm, yeah, it's almost over, which is a bummer. But
yeah, it's been a cool experience.
Yeah,
though.
I wish I had known about it last year to do like junior, senior year. But
yeah,
you know, you live and you learn.
Mm-hmm.
You can't change the past.
Unfortunately. But if anyone else wants to join PEP,
yeah,
we our application is actually opening at the end of this month, May 31st. So if you want to join PEP, and we do tabling workshops, and I'm doing the podcast, but I'm leaving at the end of this year. So if you want to continue this and do better than I have, you can fill out the application. It's really quick. And there's a chance you might join the PEP team.
Yeah.
And I think right now we have how many members? Maybe like 9?
I have no idea. I can't count.
Okay. Well, I think maybe we have 9-ish members. But
I can count, guys. I just can't think on the spot very well. Anyway, that's not really relevant.
5 times 3.
15.
Okay.
Retesting me. That's
yes,
mean.
I was,
it's
but
like
you
elementary
passed
school
with
times
flying
tables.
Colors. I still have trouble with my times tables.
I think that's when my anxiety started. With time, because timed tests just,
I had a lot of problems with tests in elementary school. Well.
And spelling tests, because I have dyslexia.
Okay, I was going to tell you. I was going to tell this story.
And they didn't diagnose me with it till I had to self-advocate.
Really?
And I didn't get diagnosed till high school because I looked it up and, like, interviewed, like, my friends who had it and was like, I'm pretty sure I have this.
Mm-hmm.
And then I self-advocated, came to my mom and was like, I need to get diagnosed. We went to, like, the school and, like, had a whole meeting,
mm-hmm.
and then I got diagnosed.
Oh,
so,
that's cool.
Yeah.
That's good that your parents supported you.
Yeah, 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 for sure.
I sort of did that with ADHD when I was in elementary school, and then I went to my parents, and they were like, no, you don't. And I'm like,
no, my
oh,
mom,
okay, I
my,
guess.
My parents did say no at first, and then I had to, like, push for it. Because, like, they want to believe, like, you're the best you
yeah.
can be, which that's stigma right there that they grew up with. They also did that with lice. Like, that's, like...
Lice?
Yeah, like, I had to get a bug and be like, I have lice.
Oh,
like, here,
no.
I'll prove it to you. So it was, like, the exact same situation with lice as with dyslexia. I was
yeah.
like, I have to fucking prove it to you. Sorry,
but
guys. Didn't mean to curse right there.
I think we can.
It's just there's
I think
a
we
lot.
Can curse, but I mean,
I know there was just so much. It was
yeah.
it was just bubbling up like so much.
This isn't going to be on PBS Kids.
Yeah, sorry. I'm not a cursing person, but like I just was struggling for
curse
so
when
long.
You feel like it.
I was struggling for so long in the dark, and I had to self-advocate at like 16 years old. Yeah. And my mom's like, "No, you just read slowly." And I'm like, "Oh." Guys, so many people, especially women, like autism and ADHD are misdiagnosed. And it's not till we are old enough to self-advocate and diagnose ourselves with research and come to like the doctor or like your therapist and be like, "Hey, I think I have this." And then they're like, "Oh shit, I think you do." Like, guys, do your research. You might, like, being diagnosed is makes you learn so much about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a bad thing.
Yeah. And it also, I've never found the right words for this, but when you're diagnosed, it's sort of a relief in a way, because you're like, okay, it's not because I'm not trying hard enough,
mm-hmm.
like some people say, or it's not that I'm just stupid,
mm-hmm.
or any of the things that people
it's
tell you.
It's not because I'm slow. It's because my brain mixes up letters and I literally can't read it.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
But, being diagnosed is, in a way, a relief, because you have an actual medical professional say, "No, you're not an idiot.
Mm-hmm.
There is something that is miswired in your brain."
Preach.
So we have tips or medication that you can take that helps you alleviate the symptoms.
Yep. Or even if you don't like want to be medicated or it's just like information about yourself and a whole group of people that are like you,
mm-hmm.
and have like struggled with the same things as you. It's like so empowering to learn about. So anyway, that's like my catchphrase. I say that a lot.
Oh.
Because I go off on tangents a lot and then I realize I have to get back.
Yeah. I think my catchphrase would be whatever or unfortunate.
You do say unfortunate. I've heard you say unfortunate.
Yeah, I do say that a lot.
Unfortunate.
That's honest. I've done that so much to sort of like play down like really bad situations.
Mm.
Like, I'll.
Is that your coping mechanism?
I think I sort of use it as a coping mechanism. But
maybe not the best coping mechanism.
Yeah, I do understate a lot.
Mm.
Like, if I'm in like serious emotional or even physical pain, I'll just be like, "Oh, this is unfortunate."
Mm. Do you have any healthy coping mechanisms that are not stating unfortunate?
I guess I do. Well, I know a lot of healthy coping mechanisms. Doesn't mean I do them.
I think we've switched roles. I'm now interviewing you.
I mean, that's fine as well. I mean, I have a lot of things to say.
Say them. Go for it.
Okay.
You have the floor.
All right. So, I talked with Jenna a bit about this. I do mindfulness meditation sometimes, which is basically, I sit down or stand up or whenever, and I close my eyes and just focus on my breathing, and all the thoughts that fly through my head on a constant basis, I just ignore.
Okay. How does meditating go with like ADHD?
It's
really
hard.
Yeah.
But I haven't been doing it regularly,
mm-hmm.
but when I did do it, I noticed that.
Does it help you like a lot?
I don't know if my thoughts slowed down. Maybe they did, But they also, I was like, way, it was way easier for me to ignore them.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah. And maybe other coping mechanisms. Music, I guess, is one. That's always a classic. And then I'm still trying to find the best activity for me to do, but I want to find an activity that is literally like brain dead. It's like I can just do it. I can just move my hands or do something because I fidget a lot. So maybe finding something that I can just move my hands that doesn't require really any like thought, but keeps me occupied.
Yeah. My boyfriend strings lacrosse sticks.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And he'll like untie them and like redo it. Mm-hmm. I think that's basically like what you're talking about. Like that's the equivalent of what he like will do.
Yeah.
And he'll just like throw on like TV or he'll throw on even a lacrosse like stringing video while he's doing it.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like a mindless thing that he's doing with his hands. Mm-hmm. But I excessively clean.
Oh, okay.
Like I love to organize and stuff, and I sometimes will even clean other people's spaces, but like with their consent. Like when I was younger and like in high school and stuff, I would clean my brother's room, and then I'd clean like the house and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And it's just like so like mindless.
Yeah.
Cause I'm just like putting things where they go. And it's like, I lived there for so long. I knew like where everything went already. Mm-hmm. So it was like just so calming to me. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people think that's so weird and they think I'm a little crazy, but I love it. And when I didn't get into grad school, and it was the first day of spring break, and I love when I go home for spring break to not have anything planned.
Yeah.
And so I had nothing planned except like doctor's appointments and like one lunch with a friend, because everybody else was like not home because it was only a week, so they didn't come home.
Yeah.
My friends. And so I had one lunch and then like doctor's appointments, and then my mom got me a massage, bless her heart, and then And so I spent 3 days deep cleaning the entire house, because I was like putting off my like depression. Like I was like just like, okay, how many days can I like push my depression? And then the second like the entire house was clean, I was like in bed watching TV, like not moving, because I was just like, I didn't get into grad school.
You actually did that spring cleaning.
No, I literally did spring cleaning over spring break. I actually did. And it helped my mom a lot, because my brother just is like a mess. He's an absolute mess. But yeah, people live their lives differently and cope in different ways. Yeah. Mine is excessively cleaning, I guess. But I also like to go outside. Mm-hmm. But I mean, when I get really stressed, my room does get really messy. I'm like a weird, I don't know. It doesn't make sense to me. Like I can organize when I as a coping mechanism, but like I can't do laundry. Like my clothes will pile up, but I will keep like everything else organized. It's like a really weird mix. I do laundry, but like I don't put it away.
Okay.
It's just like
in a pile.
In a pile. Because it's just a little too much work for my
honestly,
depression self to.
I'll do laundry and then I'll just like leave it in the hamper.
Yeah, exactly. And then, it's just like on a pile on a chair. It's the laundry chair.
I remember when I was younger, when I would do laundry, because my mom was finally like, it's time for you to do your own laundry. And I'm like, yeah, whatever. Fine. But I would finish the laundry, put it in the dryer, and then just bring it back to my room and put it on my bed because I was on the computer, so my chair was occupied. And then I would just move it from my bed to my chair for like a few days.
Yep.
And my mom always got on my case about that because my clothes just were so wrinkled.
Yeah.
But finally, I've been folding and, you know, putting away my clothes after I, after I do my laundry.
Wow.
It's really annoying.
I have like organized chaos. It's like folded in the corner, but I don't want to hang any of it up. Mm. That's like a little too much work for like my anxiety and like overstimulated stress. Like I get really overwhelmed with everything I have to do, and I'm like, that's just too many clothes to put away right now. I'm just not gonna do it yet. And then it just stays there for a really long time, and then I keep doing laundry, and so it's just like it's just never gonna get put away. And I'm fine with that. So you know, maybe I don't clean things as a coping mechanism because I have a corner of clothes. I'm just exposing myself on this.
It's podcast. Fine. I'm exposing myself too.
I know.
So, exposing yourself more. What is your biggest stressor in college?
Finals.
Finals. Okay.
Specifically this quarter, you know what's crazy, guys? I have only had one, like, in-person Scantron final my entire college career. And that was freshman year, and then we went home for COVID, and then every class that I've taken since has had, like, hybrid or online Canvas finals or presentations or papers. So I have gotten through college these 4 years with one in-person Scantron final, and my last quarter I now have an in-person Scantron final. And I am terrified because I'm so out of practice. Because we've had, like, I've had open book finals this entire time. And I'm so terrified. My anxiety is through the roof every time I step into this class because I'm like, I have to know every single thing that this woman is saying right now. And I'm, like, taking notes with, like, with so much pressure on myself, and it's not going well.
Well, I was gonna say this. I had Scantron finals when I was in freshman year, and then when I went to community college for a bit, I had some Scantron finals. But I thought I'd had more, so I bought a pack of Scantrons and blue books, and After that, I've just never had any. So I'll give you a Scantron and a blue book.
Thanks.
After this recording.
Sick.
Because I would never need it. I just, like, go to my classes and be like, does anyone have any Scantron or blue book finals? I will give you some because I don't need them.
Nice. Now I don't have to get them. That's not why I'm stressed, though.
I know. I just wanted to get rid of them.
No, I know. I know. But that was a really bad joke.
But, yeah, that sucks.
Yeah.
Are you just stressed about that final or other
finals? I only have one final.
Oh, you only have
because
one
I'm
final.
Graduating, so I don't even need, like, I need this specific class for like grad school, because you need clinical psychology for grad schools. Okay. But I don't need it to graduate. Mm-hmm. It's not like a major requirement, and it's not, I don't need units anymore.
Yeah.
So I'm literally just like chilling this quarter, but this final is just terrifying. Mm. So I would be like super chill with like no anxiety, but mm-hmm. this final is just not the vibe.
Okay, so, oh, this is this is what I wanted to ask like 20 minutes ago.
Oh, nice.
So why did you want to become a therapist?
Oh, that's $1 million question, isn't it?
Yeah.
I like to talk to people about their problems and okay. try and solve them. I've always done that with my friends.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're technically not supposed to do this as a therapist. Like, you're not supposed to tell people what to do and, like, yeah. give them straight up advice. You're supposed to, like, lead them to the correct decision yeah. and let them make it on their own. But, like, I do that with my friends. Like, I tell them straight up, like, hey, like, you really shouldn't do that or yeah. stuff like that. And so I've always done that with my friends, and they've always been like, oh, my gosh, like, you give the best advice. And so then I was like, oh, my gosh, I should be a therapist. Mm-hmm. And so I, like, have thought about a lot about it and been like, I've always wanted to help people.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate blood. And so okay. I don't want to be a nurse or a doctor.
Okay.
And so I was like, how can I help people? And what are my strong suits? And I love to talk to people about their problems and uh-huh. try and solve them. And that's a therapist.
Mm.
Boom.
Okay.
Yeah. And I've just like, I took intro to psych my freshman year and was like, this is so cool.
Mm-hmm.
I love learning about the brain and like how people think and what's wrong with people,
yeah,
and like what has happened in someone's past that made them the way they are today.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think that's really sick. Yeah,
in two ways.
Yeah, I mean, like, just learning about humanity and how like why we are the way we are.
Mm-hmm.
Like, psychology is that.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, and being a therapist is you get to connect with someone one-on-one on a deeper level and also understand them as a human being mm-hmm. and what they've been through and work with them and yeah, and so help them through things that they're going through.
Yeah.
And I just have enjoyed that in my personal life.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like to do that in my professional life.
That's great.
Yeah.
Psych.
Psychology.
Mm-hmm.
And I picked therapist instead of psychologist because I am not very good at school and I really don't want to go get a doctorate to become a psychologist.
Oh.
Is there a big difference? I want to get a master's degree, so I don't want to commit right now. Because, okay, so we're all trying to figure out what we're doing with our life, right? Yeah. And so I don't want to commit to, like, a really long program right now. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, right now, it's easy to commit to a master's program.
Yeah.
That's 2 years, 3 years tops. So I'll commit to a master's program because I know that's what I want to do right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so I know that's therapist. So I'll be a therapist, I'll get a master's degree, I'll get licensed, and then I'll become a therapist. I will figure out my focus, I'll work for a little bit, and then if I want to become a psychologist, which has a little more freedom with, like, insurance stuff,
okay.
like, you're able to get, like, reach more people, I think, with
okay.
insurance-wise. I think more people are covered.
Mm-hmm.
Under your like under their insurance to see a psychologist, I think it's easier.
Okay.
And then also with psychologists, they can administer tests and like diagnose you, I believe. And like school psychologists are psychologists. They're not therapists. But also an MFT, a marriage and family therapist, can be used at a school to like can be brought in at a school to see a kid. So like when I was in elementary school, they brought in a marriage and family therapist to come like see me. So it kind of depends on, I don't really understand, but it's kind of confusing. But I just know that I don't want to commit to a really long period of school right out of the gates. So that's why I committed to master's first. And then if I wanted to, after working a little bit, after getting my master's, then I'd go get a PhD. Because I also am not like as not as interested in research. That's also a PhD route. And so master's is more my forte. So,
yeah.
And that's therapist. And marriage and family therapy is specifically what I was looking at. And that looks at the family as a unit and how all of the dynamics in a family affect everybody in that realm. And rather than just the individual, but you also do individual therapy. But I want to, my goal kind of is to work in a pediatric practice and work with the families in it.
Oh, that's cool.
Like kind of work with moms with depression and then the kids and stuff like that.
I could have used that when I was a kid.
I just like really like the like practice model, because then you work with like all the practitioners and stuff like that. And then I like working with the family unit, because then you get to know all of them. And I like kids. I've worked with kids my entire like life. Working.
Couldn't do that.
They're fun. They say the funniest stuff.
I know, but they're so annoying.
Well, you have to have patience for sure. But they say the funniest stuff. If I could think quickly right now, I would say something funny that they've said to me.
I'm content just being the fun / grumpy uncle.
You're the grunkle.
Yeah, I'm the grunkle. But I definitely feel you on the don't want to commit to a long program right now, because I was thinking about that with grad school as well. But I'm a philosophy major, so it's a lot different for me, because pretty much the only route
is a PhD.
No, the only route for a PhD in philosophy is academia. And I don't necessarily know if I want to go into academia right now, especially as a philosophy major, because it's just going to be a lot of work. And then afterwards, I'll basically be begging for the scraps of any position that's open. And there's not going to be a lot of tenure track positions for philosophy.
The young philosophy professor that taught my philosophy class at Oxford, he was jumping around to like wherever he could get a place, and he was kind of like a guest lecturer, but he was writing books and stuff while he was doing that. So
I think that's, if I do, that would be something I would do.
It's kind of cool though, because he was like traveling.
I would love to do that.
In England for a whole summer, like paid. Like the whole thing was like all expenses paid, because he was like
a guest.
He was a guest lecturer doing the entire summer program.
That would be cool.
And then he went to, he was then going to go teach at Harvard to be a, I think then he actually got a job right after at Harvard. And then he was going to be writing with a professor there.
Yeah. So I just have to be, you know, good enough to actually write really books. He's
really young and cool, and you're young and cool, so.
Well, you also have to be talented.
I mean, you have the, like, philosopher vibe. I don't know.
That's
you have the voice that could, like, something could come out of your mouth that sounds, like, really eloquent and, like blow everyone's mind, I feel.
That's the persona I try to present because it's a cover for how much I don't know. I'm just like,
isn't that, that's literally what philosophy is. Yeah.
I'm just like, I'm going to write and say the most profound things and you're going to think about it. But in actuality, if you ask me questions, I'm just like, dude, I don't know.
That's literally what I was thinking philosophy was the entire time I took that class. I was like, does anyone actually think the things that are coming out of their mouths right now? Can you actually argue this?
No, it's just all unfounded theories. It's like,
who actually has the balls to argue this? I don't know. Okay, we've completely gotten off the topic of mental health.
I mean, philosophy is my mental health.
Philosophy ruined my mental health really? Over the summer.
Oh, no. How did it ruin your mental health?
I thought I was the dumbest person there, for sure.
I mean, but...
Because that's what philosophy does to you.
To be fair.
Guys, you guys are the smartest people ever. Don't let philosophy bring you down.
Specifically, don't let the conceited, egotistical philosophy dorks
you're just try to shitting on your entire department right now. They're not going to listen to the podcast.
They're not going to listen to it or half of them is going to agree with me and the other half is going to be like, no, that is completely preposterous.
Preposterous. Think of some SAT words that they would say.
Yeah. It's either someone gets into philosophy because they really like it or someone...
they like to argue.
They like to argue or they like to seem really smart.
Yep. Anyway.
Yeah. Probably what those Oxford stuff shirts.
It was like Harvard and Yale. Nobody in my program actually went to Oxford. They were all people from the U.S. I went, yeah. But the people, yeah, it was interesting. My professor was from Canada. Oh. It was cool.
Well.
Anyway, that was off topic.
Just know that. Some philosophy majors are really stuck up because they think they know shit because they've read Nietzsche.
I haven't read that.
I mean, honestly, you're not really missing out on much, but it's really interesting.
I bet it was.
Okay, our last question that we can use to finish up is, I think we already talked about coping mechanisms. So, is there any other coping mechanism that you can think of that you do to manage your stress?
I just really like to go outside and walk around. The weather's hopefully going to get nice again. It's been a little rainy this week. But once the sun is out, I like to walk in the trees or go to the beach. Mm-hmm. I really love the beach. That's what I did during COVID when everything was closed. My mom took me and my brother to the beach. Aww. A lot because the gym was closed and she likes to swim. So mm-hmm. she would go swimming in the ocean like a crazy person because the ocean's cold. So yeah. She would go in like a wetsuit. But I would go hang out at the beach with my brother while my mom swam in the cold water.
That's cool.
And so the beach has like turned into like a coping mechanism for me ever since then. And what's cool is now since we're in Santa Cruz, like the beach is
pretty right
close. So that's what I do, yeah, nature is my coping mechanism.
That's cool.
Yeah. Or so, music, like you were saying earlier.
I like to end off now with asking you, do you have any words of wisdom or anything you want to say to people listening?
Just try to take every day one step at a time and don't get too overwhelmed. I know that's really hard sometimes, but that's what I always struggle with, is I get really overwhelmed and look too far in the future and start stressing about the bigger things that don't need to be stressed about yet, and then I freak out. So if you're like me, don't do that. This is more like an advice for myself, honestly. So during this Mental Health Awareness Month, this is what I'm telling myself, because I'm really doing that right now with graduation happening and all these big changes happening in my life. I know I need to tell myself to pause and live in the moment and enjoy these last moments before graduation, because it's gonna happen so fast. And if you're graduating, just like spend time with your friends and like maybe make like a bucket list with the last couple things that you'll want to do before you leave, and enjoy your time.
Yeah.
Live in the present.
That's great.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Emma, for joining me today.
Yeah. It was really cool. I've never done this before. And it was actually way more fun than I thought it would be. I thought I was going to be really anxious, but sick.
Thank you, Emma. And thank you all for listening. I'll see you next week.
Not me, but.
But I'm not really going to see you.
I'll
talk into a microphone next week.
Yeah. Bye, guys.
Bye.